Demonstrations have been held all around the globe, with people demanding an end to the Israeli onslaught against Palestinians. Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Mews. Thanks for joining us.
Israel's genocidal war in Gaza is entering its 44th day, and there seems to be no end in sight to the painful tragedies. One of the latest Israeli attacks has hit two schools, killing scores of people. The regime targeted the UN-run Al-Fakhura school, located in a Jabalia refugee camp, and another school in northern Gaza. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman strongly condemned the attacks. Nasser Kanani urged the international community and Islamic countries to act against the regime's crimes. Israel has ordered Palestinians to move from North Gaza for so-called safety, but deadly airstrikes continue to hit central and southern areas of the Strip. At least 80 Palestinians were also killed in the regime's airstrikes on residential blocks in the south of the Strip. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, the death toll stands at over 12,300. Women and children make up the majority of the victims. The United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine says there are no safe places in the Gaza Strip amid Israel's continuous bombings. The agency said they are no longer able to provide protection for people coming to its shelters and schools. It said 70 UNRWA buildings have been targeted in Israeli airstrikes since October 7. According to the UN organization, even UNRWA employees are not safe from the attacks, and 103 of its staff have been killed during the Israeli aggression. However, the agency said that it will continue its work in Gaza, and it has no intention of leaving the Palestinian territory. Cancer patients in Gaza are no exception to the regime's crippling restrictions on basic supplies and medicines. Let's take a listen to comments by two doctors and the father of a patient at the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital. They explain how the Israeli bans are affecting the patients.
The situation is not only tragic, it's more than tragic. Cancer patients are a fragile group. They need a lot of care from nurses and medical teams, as well as psychological support, which we don't have now. As you all know, time is a really important factor for the life of the cancer patients. And if there was a delay in getting chemotherapy treatment, this will cause deterioration in the case. There were some cases we had to discharge and send to shelters. Unfortunately, four of these patients died because of the lack of medical care and because of the bad conditions there.
The situation is very, very, very bad in Gaza. It is a disaster situation. It is a call for the international community. Please come and save Gaza. Say something about Gaza. Do an action. You could be saying something very good. Yes, we are hearing you. Thanks to you. But really, we need you to come and take an action, to cease fire in Gaza, to stop killing of Gaza people, to stop killing of our patients, to stop killing our cancer patients.
My son has a cancer. He has a dangerous cancer. Today, he is bleeding from the rectus because the cancer mass is pushing against the muscle and the rectus, so he has been bleeding. He had an appointment to be treated in Nablus on the 8th of October, the second day of war. But unfortunately, the war started and he stayed in Gaza. Then the Turkish hospital was hit. There is no chemotherapy treatment or painkillers. I called on the Palestinian Authority, the health ministry, that I want painkillers.
A senior Hamas official has vowed that the Palestinian resistance will not retreat until the realization of their goals. Hamas representative in Lebanon, Osama Hamdan, said the main demand of the Palestinian people is the establishment of an independent state. He slammed the Israeli plans for forced evacuation of Palestinians from northern Gaza, stressing the regime's plots will all end in failure. Hamdan said the onslaught in Gaza is being carried out with the U.S. green light and that Washington is directly responsible. He called on the U.N. to level sanctions against the regime. Hamdan also urged Arab and Muslim nations to sever ties with Israel. Mick Wallace, an independent Irish member of the European Parliament, blames the U.S. and European countries for the war crimes committed by Israel in the besieged Gaza Strip.
There's no doubt But Israel couldn't do what it's doing without the support of the US and the EU. That is absolutely crucial to the Israelis. So that has to stop. And it's for the people in these countries, across the member states of Europe, and the people across America, who have made it very clear that they are horrified at the massacre that's taken place. The people have got to pressure more the politicians who are complicit in the genocide. These are our war crimes too. It isn't just Israel are committing war crimes. The European Union, the Americans and the UK, they're committing war crimes too by their support, their relentless, unconditional support for this genocide. And it's for the people to pressure them in all the different countries.
Israeli forces have killed two more Palestinians in their latest acts of violence in the occupied West Bank. A young Palestinian identified as Omar Al-Layham was gunned down at Dahisha camp. Regime forces also killed another Palestinian at Aida camp north of the city of Bethlehem. Meanwhile, Israeli tanks and bulldozers stormed the Jenin refugee camp. The Israeli regime has intensified its bloody attacks in the West Bank. More than 210 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli troops and settlers across the occupied territories since October the 7th. That is when the regime began its onslaught against the besieged Gaza Strip. Esha Krishnaswamy is a podcaster and journalist who joins us. Esha, welcome to the program. When we take a look at what is happening in the Gaza Strip, there is, and of course your opinion matters here, but I think it's pretty evident that Israel is not making the headway and the achievements that they wanted to in terms of their stated goal, which was eradicating Hamas. Now, given that scenario, what is Israel facing when it comes to the continuation of this war? I mean, it doesn't appear like they can eradicate Hamas as a stated goal. So the only thing that's being done here is civilians and the murder of civilians, basically.
Well, that's their stated goal, but their actual goal is clearing some parts of Gaza in order for new Jewish settlers to come and occupy that land. And that's their actual goal, regardless of what they state, because they have been targeting in the north, they've been just targeting, like, carpet bombing everything. They've been targeting hospitals, schools, civilian infrastructure. So we know that their stated goal is not actually to target Hamas. And lest we forget, Benjamin Netanyahu had a strategy of actually financing Hamas in order to create a rift between West Bank and Gaza until probably 2022. So if their goal was actually to get rid of Hamas, they've been doing a really bad job. So we should stop calling, we should just look at their actual goal as opposed to what they claim in their propaganda. And also, it's like, they're targeting 1.5 million to maybe get a few thousand fighters, if that. And that's just what we know for now. So basically, cities in the north, even Gaza City, has been almost uninhabitable. And there are lots of people who have been fleeing south because that's the only place they can go. And of course, these infrastructures are not meant to fit 1.5 million people. So what is going on is a massive starvation. People are trying to live off of two slices of bread a day. They've also been targeting bakeries and food stores, and a massive shortage of essentials like water. And so there's been an increase in infections that we should not have in the 21st century in Gaza. So we should just not look at their stated goals and see what their actions are.
Okay, let's not take a look at the stated goals based on what you're saying. I'm curious as to how you have reached a conclusion that and I'm guessing the northern Gaza Strip is what you're talking about when you say the settlers are actually, Netanyahu is making way for the settlers to go in there. Do you have information on that or anything that leads you to believe that that would be the case?
Yes, I do. So first of all, Netanyahu himself has said that he plans on allowing some settlements in Gaza. And one of the most powerful settler associations, who are very closely tied with the Likud party, have stated that they plan on building more settlements. So in 2005, about 5,000 settlers were moved from Gaza onto, I guess, what is now Israel. And they've been getting more and more power in the government because the government has shifted more and more right wing. And with the coalition that the Likud party has done with the extreme right wing, these are settlers who want to, who believe that it's their right, according to their text, their biblical text, their Torah, that they have a right to almost everything from, say, Lebanon to Gaza. And that's what they want to do. It's not a secret. It's some members of the Knesset have also said that.
All right, very well. Thank you very much for that. Eshar Krishnaswamy, podcaster and journalist. Thank you so much.
Have a good.
Moving on, Palestinians in the occupied West Bank have marched in solidarity with the people being subjected to Israel's aggression in the Gaza Strip.
These are war crimes that must stop. The Palestinian people came out today with two messages. Stop the aggression, stop the massacres. We are one united people. What is happening in Gaza is another battle of dignity and honor.
Hundreds of Palestinians rallied in the West Bank city of Ramallah. They chanted anti-Israeli slogans while waving Hamas and Palestinian flags. The demonstration comes amid an uptick of Israeli violence against Palestinians in the West Bank in recent weeks. Also, hundreds of people in Bahrain took to the streets to protest Israel's atrocities in Gaza. They slammed the regime's targeting of hospitals and its genocide. Similar rallies were also held across Europe, calling for an end to Israeli regime massacre of people in Gaza.
I think the injustice that has reigned in Palestine for 75 years is very serious. Even if there are many injustices in the world, this one is the most obvious. And the continuous bombardment since October 7th is genocide, and it must stop.
I'm demonstrating today in support of this struggle of the Palestinian people for their right to have a state and for their right to self-determination. It's important to be here today, and it's important that people are here, and that there are demonstrations around the world to put pressure on Western governments to stop their political, economic, and diplomatic support for Israel.
In the Portuguese city of Lisbon, thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters took to the streets. They demanded a ceasefire in Gaza and the respect for the rights of the Palestinian people. In Spain's Barcelona, hundreds of demonstrators marched in support of Palestinians in Gaza. They condemned the Israeli bombardment of the besieged territory. Elsewhere in the French capital, Paris, pro-Palestine protesters called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
At the invitation of Palestinian factions, hundreds of Syrians joined their brethren to rally in Khan Yunus refugee camp to condemn Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people, especially the besieged people of Gaza. The demonstrators stressed that the Western-backed aggression and blockade will not defeat Palestine and its people. They also pointed to the failure of the Israeli regime to produce any evidence backing up its claims about the presence of a Hamas command center under Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital. Two residents of the Khan Yunus refugee camp were martyred in Al-Aqsa flood operation. The people of the camp take pride in their martyrs. Participants affirmed that the path of liberating Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque is difficult, but pledged to make all necessary sacrifices in the battle for the Palestinian cause. Meanwhile, inside the Zainab city, a solidarity event was held in support of Palestine, where families of the Palestinian resistance martyrs were honored. In turn, families hailed martyrdom as the only path to victory. Participants expressed confidence in the victory of Gaza, emphasizing that the Palestinian cause will always thrive throughout generations.
As outrage grows in the region due to the escalation of Israeli crimes, Syrians and Palestinians reaffirm their support for Gaza in the face of the Israeli aggression and their determination to achieve victory, no matter how great the sacrifices are. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Another pro-Palestinian demonstration has taken place in the Yemeni capital Sana'a in solidarity with Palestinians and their resilience in the face of the Israeli aggression. Protesters also expressed support for the Yemeni government's decision to continue targeting Israel with drones and ballistic missiles. They stressed that this is a battle between good versus evil.
This is a battle against the heads and masterminds of disbelief, at the head of which is America and Israel, the great Satan and the cancer in the body of the Muslim world. By the will of Allah, victory is near.
Last week, the Yemeni army confirmed they are able to target Israeli ships in the Red Sea and any other location. The army also stated they will target Israeli ships heading toward occupied Palestine or any other country. The Ansarullah military says its moves against Israel are part of efforts to pressure the regime in Tel Aviv to put a halt to the atrocities against Palestinians.
Yemen's armed forces will not hesitate to target all Israeli ships in the Red Sea or at any location within our reach. Yemen's armed forces will not stop launching attacks against Israelis until the regime's aggression on our Palestinian brothers ends.
The government in Sana'a believes these military moves could lead to a full-scale war with the U.S. and the Israeli regime. Despite that, Yemen leaders believe war has been permitted against those killing Muslims and forcing them out of their land.
Israel's economy is heavily dependent on imports and exports traded through Yemen's crucial Bab al-Mandab Strait. This comes as the Ansarullah movement has announced it will not allow any Israeli shipments to pass through this strait as long as the Tel Aviv regime continues its acts of aggression in occupied Palestine. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old, and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 19th, 2023. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. And dear listeners, I express my heartiest felicitations to you on a very auspicious occasion. Today, that is November 19th, corresponds to the 5th of the Islamic month of Jamadi al-Awwal, which is the birth anniversary of an Immaculate Lady, which in memory of her supreme service to nurse Islam and all humanitarian values back to life, is celebrated in the Islamic Republic of Iran as the Day of the Nurse, to honor the services to humanity of these paramedics. Yes, today is the birth anniversary of Hazrat Zainab, the granddaughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program, of course. And as we always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And as usual, we've received reception reports from around the world, from Prasenjit Bhakat from India, from Roni Hossein from Bangladesh, and from Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Thank you for the reception reports, dear listeners. And of course, we've received emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Prasenjit Bhakat from India has sent us a piece of email from the Netherlands. Rob Den Boer, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. Mukesh Kumar from India has sent us an email. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Bhatun Rudra. And from Germany, we have an email from Kurt Ettlinger, who is one of our regular listeners. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as I said, Prasenjit Bhakat from India has sent us a piece of email. Prasenjit says, "My name is Prasenjit Bhakat from Foreign Radio Listeners Club in India. Please send your current printed schedules and some small gifts, including calendars, books, tourism materials, etc., to distribute in our club. Keep sending your newsletter. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Prasenjit Bhakat from India, and many thanks for writing to us. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. And you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en to find the frequency schedule. Prasenjit Bhakat, thank you very much for writing to us. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. From the Netherlands, we've received an email from Rob Den Boer, one of our old and regular listeners. Rob says, "Dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's Broadcasting, I'm glad to confirm your broadcast today here in the city of Hainaut, the Netherlands. I heard your female announcer speaking about Islamic issues in English language, which I found it quite interesting. Please verify my report by your EQSL. Thank you so much." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Appreciations to you for this email. Of course, it's good to hear that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region in Hainaut, the Netherlands. And thank you very much for letting us know the programs you were interested in. You said you heard the female announcer speaking about Islamic issues in English language. So an electronic QSL will be sent to you soon as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Welcome back. So let's see what Mukesh Kumar from India says. "Dear sir or madam, greetings. I and my club are English radio enthusiasts. On behalf of all club members, I send our love to you via this email. God bless you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mukesh Kumar from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. You also please send our warm greetings to your club members. Any opinion from you, our dear listeners, about our broadcast is welcomed by IRIB English Radio. So in your upcoming emails and letters, please tell us which program or programs you like the best. Mukesh Kumar from India. We wish you all the best, of course, for you and your club members, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you, Mukesh Kumar from India. So let's see what Bathan Rudra from Bangladesh says. Hi, my radio friends. How are you? I am Bathan Rudra from Bangladesh. I love and we love radio because it is my friend and is the best media all over the world. Here I send respect to all radio workers and radio listeners. So, salam and warm greetings to you, Bathan Rudra from Bangladesh. Please accept our warmest gratitude to you for writing such a nice email to us at IRIB English Radio. It's good to have you with us as a new listener of IRIB English Radio, and we are, of course, very glad to hear that you were able to receive the signals of our radio in your region and in your Bangladesh. I don't know the exact place you live, but it's good to hear that you were successful in catching up the signals of IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for writing to us. Please, in your upcoming emails, tell us which program or programs you like the best. So an EQSL, an electronic QSL, will soon be sent to you as confirmation to this email. Bathan Rudra from Bangladesh, thank you, we wish you all the best. So let's see what Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, one of our regular listeners, says. He says, "Dear sir or madam, of the team of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, as a DXing fan, I scanned my radio dial and I found your frequency. I found your programs very interesting and full of information. So I would be very grateful to you if you can send me QSL card for my reception report. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of Iran. And thank you very much for writing to us, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. So you are a DXing fan, and that's nice. It's a good hobby. And so, as you were listening to IRIB English radio programs, you found them very interesting and full of information, and that's good. And I wish you could tell us which program or programs you had that you found them very interesting and full of information. Anyway, we're so glad to hear that. So, an electronic QSL or EQSL will soon be sent to you as a verification to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. We come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye to you, I do once again send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails from around the world, including Prasenjit Bahakat from India, Ronnie Hussain from Bangladesh, Rob Denboer from the Netherlands, as well as Mukesh Kumar from India and Bathan Rudra from Bangladesh and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Doing a sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
UN has finally passed a binding resolution calling for pauses in the Israeli war on Gaza. Israel has objected while it continues targeting the Al-Shifa hospital, presenting false evidence of a Hamas presence, falling way short of it being a command and control node or center. Meanwhile, the U.S. continues to reject the ceasefire, while other allies, like France, are objecting to Israel's tactics, especially in the occupied West Bank, calling the settler violence a policy of terror aimed at displacing Palestinians. Let's find out what our guest thinks. Let me introduce them. Elijah Magnier is a journalist and political analyst joining us from Brussels. Also joining us is Daniel Yejic, author and researcher, who joins us from Beirut. Welcome to you both. I'm at a loss to know where to start with you, Elijah Magnier, because we're seeing things here that defy logic. So let me start with one of them, which is the way that Israel is going about exercising its military, capabilities. We're looking at the way that it is targeting hospitals, in particular right now, the Al-Shifa Hospital. We know what it's done to the previous facilities, medical facilities. We still see the death toll rising incrementally. But we don't really see the stated goal of this operation, which was to eradicate Hamas. I don't recall the last time, really, that Israel has said this many Hamas fighters have been taken out, along with this many of their equipment. They have made that announcement, but very far and in between. And that has actually put into question, which is my question to you, the real stated goal of this military incursion, which has been called a genocidal war. Is their intent just to kill Palestinians, do you think?
Thank you for having me. So the objective is far from being to defeat Hamas or to liberate all the captives, because both objectives are impossible to achieve with military means. And the Israeli government and all their allies are fully aware that these objectives are not achievable. Therefore, the undeclared objective of the Israelis are three things, really. First, to kill the largest number of the Palestinians and scare them for those who want to remain to leave, to trigger another exodus. Secondly, is to create a buffer zone in the north of Gaza to remove everything from north of Gaza, destroy everything, and then create an area where it's unlivable. And third, to try and bring back the state of uncertainty to the settlers, that they feel totally uncertain and they've lost all the trust in the Israeli occupation forces and their government. By doing so, they could not declare the clear objective from the start. Otherwise, the international community will stand against this ethnic cleansing and will feel embarrassed to support Israel further with a declare objectives. However, by killing slowly the Palestinians, creating more than 11,300 Palestinian killed, mainly children and women, by destroying the infrastructure, cutting water, electricity, fuel, and medical supply, and creating genocidal killing inside Gaza Strip under the watchful eye, impotent eyes of the United Nations and the international community, Israel had already achieved that by showing its murderer type that derives from its nature of coming from a terrorist organization since 1931, before the announcement of its creation. So The objective today is no longer to destroy Hamas, because that's impossible, but is to create a large buffer zone in the north of Gaza so the settlers can return and feel safe. However, controlling this site, being able to occupy it is one thing from the military objective, and controlling it is a completely different thing.
Sure. We're going to discuss that, hopefully, if we have time, a little bit further. All right, Daniel, let me ask you about this Al-Shifa hospital that's been targeted, and then the show that Israel put on in terms of what they found there. There was a press conference a couple hours back where Osama Hamdan, one of the senior the Hamas representatives in Lebanon, that he described with some of the props that he had, how it fell way short, the Israeli presentation of what it had discovered. Why don't you tell us your impression of what they showed? Because any analyst that has posted anything on this is saying that this was just fabricated, that this alleged discovery of weapons is entirely false. What's your take on it?
It very much represents the general Israeli policy of trying somehow to create narratives that could potentially justify these war crimes and genocidal aggressions. And it was very clear, of course, that the Israeli regime has now tried to create some sort of what they refer to as proof or evidence, which, again, appears very artificial. And almost, you know, the Israeli regime making fun of everyone else and ridiculing the rest of the world by staging. So on the one hand, of course, having this genocidal aggression on Gaza that killed more than 10,000 people, and the number of deaths hasn't even been updated in the last days due to this communication blackout, and then at the same time trying somehow to create audiovisual pictures, whatever sort of material, in a very desperate attempt to try to justify their actions, which are completely unjustifiable, not only from any moral or ethical consideration, but also under international law. So it's very much ridiculous what the Israeli regime is trying to do. And again, it's trying, I think, to address its Western audiences, because the bit support that the Israeli regime still gets is in fact not from people or from the masses, but from North American and European political elites, mostly from the right wing, but depending on the place throughout the political spectrum. So it is obviously very desperate communications propaganda attempt, but again, very representative of what the Israeli regime generally does, which is to actually ridicule its victims, even after killing them and massacring them and trying to convert them again into this category of terrorist, which basically has no meaning whatsoever except for defining anyone who is against this Zionist settler colonial genocidal regime. So the question really is what the Israeli regime is trying to even attempt with this ridiculous propaganda.
Well, that's the question, isn't it, Elijah Magnier? On top of that, you have the U.S. that says we have complete faith in what Israel has in the Al-Shifa Hospital in terms of it being a control and command center, that they have intel to that effect that would support it. First of all, where is that intel that the U.S. is talking about? But aside from that, some are saying that they're just copying the Israelis instead of actually presenting the evidence that they have. But whatever Israel presented fell way short of what it claimed to be, which was this command and control node. It didn't even come close to it. So then the question is, why go through with the presentation if you agree? And then doesn't that corner Israel? Because they keep saying, we'll have more evidence to show you that'll make you believe that this is a command and control center.
Well, it corners Israel if Israel is held accountable for its murder and genocidal attacks. But because the Israelis are not held accountable for anything they are doing, notwithstanding violating all international laws, being accused of committing crimes against humanity, war crimes, and ethnic cleansing, what is very strange in this war. I mean, we know the Americans are always supportive of whatever Israel is doing and protecting it, particularly the United Nations, and offering and sending weapons. But this time, they've sent special forces, they sent carriers, but above all, they did not refer back to their intelligence, to the U.S. intelligence. On the contrary, they are just recycling exactly the same Israeli intelligence based on a lie. So when President Biden confirms that there are Hamas headquarters under the Shifa Hospital, when John Kirby, the spokesperson of the National Security and the spokesperson of the Pentagon, all of them confirm, quoting intelligence information, independent intelligence information, although they confess they have no boots on the ground, that they are sure that Hamas has its headquarters under the Shifa Hospital. And all that resulted in a lie, and they, in theory, they should feel embarrassed. However, they're not, because we are accustomed to the Americans and the Israelis to wage many wars in the Middle East, and at the maximum we've heard, like Tony Blair saying, I'm sorry, after being part of the killing of 1 million Iraqi, and the Americans and the Israelis don't really need to say they are sorry. They can continue doing business as usual, and nobody is going to render them accountable. Therefore, being exposed in their lies, but not only by Hamas, the entire social media community is really finding very ridiculous the way that the Israeli occupation forces are presenting these fake evidence. And then they delete their tweet, they recycle again what they have exposed in the beginning. And then in the whole of 45,000 meter of the Shifa Hospital, they found a few AK-47 in the IRM room, where it is impossible to have metals in that room. So everything is really a bad taste propaganda. But again, because they're not accountable, they can do it.
Lee Zangler, author and political activist, joining us from Montreal. And also spokesperson of the Masar Baril movement, Mr. Khalid Barakat, joining us from Vancouver.
Yeah, and they say that they've targeted 10,000, targets inside the Gaza Strip, and many are saying those were civilians that they killed. Anyways, let's move on to what many are not focused on, many meaning either the media altogether or that perhaps the eyes have been taken off the tense situation that exists And Daniel, that's on the in the occupied territories, in the occupied West Bank. Israel is just moving ahead with its policy of either incursions, which have resulted in deaths so far for the year, so far since October 7th, 190 Palestinians killed. We have for the year, in terms of demolitions, 890 to have taken place. And we're seeing on, for the first time, it happened months ago, where a drone was used in the Al Janin refugee camp. We're seeing the use of a drone again that had struck a refugee camp. It's resulting in deaths. Where do you see that situation going? Because we know the way that the settlers specifically and overall Israelis are encouraged to act out against the Palestinians. Are they looking to, ultimately my question being, are they looking to uproot Palestinians even from the West Bank? Is that one of their goals?
This is absolutely one of the goals, to at least reduce the land on which Palestinians remain to be living, and of course to further enforce new dimensions of their policies of control and coercion, which is part and parcel of the Israeli settler colonial project. And as we already mentioned, there is, of course, a lack of accountability. There is no one to hold the Israeli regime accountable. So why would they stop with these atrocities that are not just restricted to Gaza, but as you mentioned, ongoing in the West Bank, where there are continuous increases in not only the continuity, but also the intensity of Israeli crimes and Israeli violence against Palestinian civilians, both by the Zionist settler state as well as the armed settlers, which collaborate in their violence against Palestinians. And of course, at the same time, the Israeli regime is on somehow also in a quite desperate position militarily, because as we see in Gaza, its strategy is to kill everyone and bomb, literally to commit a genocide. And a lot of this aggression is mirrored in the West Bank, where the Israeli regime is increasing the techniques it uses in the coercion and the killing of Palestinians, of course, to further enhance their presence there. But of course, we need to keep in mind that the entire structure of the Israeli colony is built on the idea to continuously advance and take more land away from Palestinians. And part of the strategy that has been used in the West Bank is by turning the entire West Bank into enclaves that are separated from one another with Israeli checkpoints and a heavy Israeli military presence. So it seems very likely that this current situation provides another advantage for the Israeli regime, or another opportunity to further expand its terrorist tactics into the West Bank.
Well, we are looking at Elijah, the West Bank, and in particular the refugee camps, to suffer these incursions, which has resulted in deaths. But how do you see the possibility of, after the Gaza war, at some point, once it's over, for there to be an uptick, as we've seen it already be, in terms of the regime forces targeting the Palestinians, and for there to then be a spike in terms of the Palestinian deaths and murders? We have already seen that happen from October 7th. Once that war is over, I think this is not a new front, but the continuation of the old, but at a higher pace in terms of the regime forces moving in on Palestinians. Do you see it that way?
Well, we have seen this conflict going on for the last 75 years. This is not the first war on Gaza, although this is the first time this scale of destruction Gaza is facing, and a possible ethnic cleansing as well from Gaza. But we have seen an ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian. And if you look at Gaza, it's made of all refugee camps that left and escaped from other parts of Palestine. Now, I think the Palestinians need to really carefully consider the United Nations Article 55, that consider Israel doesn't have the right to defend itself because it is an occupation forces. This is where it takes us to the legitimacy of the Palestinians to defend themselves and be considered as a resistant forces. under the ruling of Mahmoud Abbas in the West Bank, we have seen how the Israelis have abused and have killed the Palestinians indiscriminately, even in an area under the control of a president that is in very good terms with the Israelis and with the Americans. But this president is unable to protect his population. There are 2,700 Palestinians since the beginning of this conflict on the 7th of October that were arrested from the West Bank. So we understand that Mahmoud Abbas has around 50,000 police officers whose main job is to arrest the Palestinian resistance. Now, if the Palestinian resistance will not understand that they are all inside this problem as one hand, and that they are indeed a resistance with the UN legitimizing their right to defend themselves, I think Israel will consider this war as business as usual and then will return to what Benjamin Netanyahu showed us, if he remains or not in power, that is arguable, that on the map that he presented in the United Nations, the West Bank and Gaza, they disappeared. So the people, all the Palestinians in the West Bank should take an example of Gaza, not because of the destruction that Israel has inflicted, but to create a state of insecurity for the settlers so they understand they cannot get away with robbing the Palestinian territory and think they can come from all over the world and occupy any land they want while they are watching their brother in Gaza killed. I think the West Bank needs to do exactly what Gaza did and need to really abide by the United Nations Article 55 and consider themselves as a resistance and act as such, because the Israelis will kill them slowly but surely.
But and that's within their right, isn't it, Daniel, that the resistance and even an armed struggle is against the colonial occupation is within the confines of law. And it's not just recognized, actually, by international law, but it's actually specifically endorsed. And I think looking at the different options, there is none. The international community can't stop Palestinians from being slaughtered. You have the UN, helpless there. You have, unfortunately, Arab countries. They haven't stepped in the way they should. So where can Palestinians then look to, except for the fact that maybe the armed struggle is within their right to obviously fight against the occupying regime?
Exactly, and this is enshrined in several UN resolutions that grant very clearly people under military occupation the right to resist against this military occupation with all means at their disposal, including armed struggle. And as you pointed out, there is effectively no mechanism in the international community or no institution, or at least no actually functioning dimension of such institution that would protect Palestinians, not just from the current genocide that is being carried out in Gaza, but in general of the settler colonial policies, the apartheid regime, and the military occupation. So the question really is, what are Palestinians supposed to do? And there are obviously the Israeli regime, just by existing in the current structures in which it exists, it continues to violate several UN resolutions on a daily basis. So, and if we, again, look into history, there is no movement, there is no indigenous people that has been liberated by waiting for the UN to intervene or by having peace, so-called peace talks and negotiations with their oppressor while they are being a victim of genocide. And so, of course, the armed struggle, and in fact, we also need to, maybe talk about to what extent the armed resistance is also a form of self-defense for Palestinians, because the other question would also be, what would have happened in Gaza if there wasn't Hamas, if there wasn't an actual armed group, a Palestinian armed group, that is fighting against the colonial oppression. And so very much as there are UN resolutions, there is international law and the international community, we see in the last now 6 weeks how weak all of these mechanisms are that are actually put in place to protect people and to protect so-called human rights and people's existence, and how this cannot be applied to Palestinians. So the question really is what other than armed resistance could Palestinians rely on to even merely survive in this situation?
When the war in Yemen was happening, Elijah Magner, my last question to you. You had, obviously, U.S. complicity in that war, and we know the way that the U.S. supported Saudi Arabia when it came to the war, and, of course, that how many Yemenis died as a result. The U.S., in this case, with Israel, is doing the same. And some are saying, well, the U.S. is now complicit in war crimes. But it did before, it did so in the past. I mentioned the war in Yemen and also other wars. Recently, in the past days, you had 100 State Department and USAID employees who said that Israel is committing war crimes. And you also had that senior State Department official that resigned saying that, you know, the U.S. is just providing Israel with military arms and arsenal that is committing war crimes. So the question is the U.S. in a corner when it comes to this? Is this time different, given the fact that we have also seen how protests are broken out in so many U.S. cities?
It is important for the audience to understand that nothing has changed, really. What the U.S. is trying to communicate to us is they have a kind of democracy, which is really untrue. Because if we look at what former President Barack Obama, when he came out just a few days ago, and he said the pictures coming from Gaza are unbearable, he was just whitewashing the decision of the of his friend and his member of the party, of the Democratic Party, Joe Biden and his administration, for their unlimited support to Israel because they are facing an election that is coming up next year. And when they leak information about differences at the State Department, again, show that they have this kind of false democracy. But in fact, no, nothing is changing.
All right, very well. We've got to end it. Thank you so much. That's Elijah Magner, journalist and political analyst from Brussels. And thank you, Daniel Yejish, author and researcher from Beirut. With that, we come to an end for this edition of The Spotlight. From Yikovi Takwe and the team, it's goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan. La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم